afternoon, I call the meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to order. For the record, it's 1:30 p.m. Thursday, March 12th, 2020. We're in the Belch Room of the Thomas Stewart Building. Present today are Senators Gray Jackson, Vice Chair, Senator Stevens, Senator Rivak, and Senator Costello is critiquing us from afar and watching online. And I'd like to recognize Kari Cooper-Rider, Mr. Mello, Mr. Grusendorf. On the agenda today, we have confirmation hearings, which are three. And if the Senate President doesn't send me any more, we'll be getting this list knocked down. But anyway, with that being said, we've got on, beside the confirmation hearings, we have SB 68, Dental Hygienist, then the first hearing on SB 173, I believe, License Intensive Care Paramedics, sponsored by our own Senator Rivak, and we will take public testimony on that today. We're going to start the confirmation process now, and that's just a few ground rules for all you conferees listening online is please put your name and affiliation on the record, a brief overview of who you are and why you want to serve, and the committee could have questions for you. And after we finish for the day, the committee will then advance your names to a joint session where you'll be voted on for confirmation. And today's hearing is not a recommendation of a yes or no vote for your confirmation in joint session. First up is Cheryl Brantley from the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers. Cheryl.
Hi.
Good afternoon. Yes, we can hear you. And were you able to hear the instructions?
Yes, I was.
The floor is yours.
Okay. My name is Cheryl Brantley. I am appointed to the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers. I am from Cosby, Alaska, and currently reside in Anchorage. I have 13 years of experience as a licensed hairdresser in the state of Alaska and 6 years as a licensed instructor. I have also held a cosmetology and instructor's license in the state of Kansas. I am very passionate about teaching and inspiring new students to encourage and elevate their skills as hairstylists. I would want to serve on the board because I believe I can bring a fresh new opinion and perspective on today's issues and can help make sound decisions when it comes to my service as a licensed educator. What I think I can bring to the board by serving on the board is to serve the people. I will do my best to help make important decisions for the best interests of hairdressers, barbers, estheticians, nail technicians, and tattoo artists, as well as making fair and effective decisions to protect the public.
All right, thank you. Do I see any questions from committee? Senator Stevens has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Cheryl, I have a question that really comes from the fact that I have a daughter who's a hairdresser in Anchorage, and she is concerned about the physical exam being eliminated for hairdressers. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I am an educator, so I really focus on getting students prepared for that test. So I really think it's important for students to have that put back on to the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers, just because I see a lot of students coming in and out of here that shouldn't be a hairstylist, and that they do need that extra test to make sure that they can be out there working on the public.
Thank you, Charlotte. I appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
Seeing no other questions, Cheryl, thank you for putting your name forward to serve the state of Alaska. We appreciate it. Now we're going to go to, I believe it's Zara Blake Thomas. I hope I got that right.
Yes, that was correct.
Okay. And you heard the instructions?
Yes.
Okay, please proceed.
Good afternoon. My name is Zara Blake Thomas. I've been appointed to the tattooist, body piercer, permanent cosmetic colorist seat with the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers. I've been employed in my field since 2001. I began an apprenticeship in 2002 once the regulations in Alaska took effect. Once my apprenticeship was completed, I began my career as a body piercer. Since then, I have carved out a career staying close to home in Anchorage. After gaining a position with my current studio in 2004, I was promoted into management in 2007, where I remain today. I believe I can take on the responsibilities of this position because I believe I'm well-suited because I'm able to remain objective in matters pertaining to our regulated industries. I'm able to separate my interests from those of other practitioners. and I bring to the table the knowledge of my craft from its infancy. Although I've yet to serve on any regulating board, I remain in close contact with several practitioners regarding advancements in our trade, as well as changes to regulations throughout the country.
Okay, thank you. And questions from committee members? Do I have any questions? Senator Reback?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to, just a quick comment. I wanted to thank you for your involvement with Bikers Against Child Abuse. I think their mission is very important, and they do great work, so I appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much. I have since stepped away, but I do intend to go back there soon. It's a fantastic organization. I really appreciate that comment. Thank you.
All right, seeing no further questions, thank you for putting your name forward to serve the state of Alaska. Next, we're going to go to Catherine Hempel.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
You're okay. We can hear you. Did you heard the instructions? And if so, please proceed.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. She's Catherine. You're applying for the Board of Nursing.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, the floor is yours.
Catherine Hempel. I live in Wasilla. I am a professor at UAA and teach advanced med-surg nursing. I've been in nursing since I was 16 years old. I started out as a candy striper, then I was a PCA, then an LPN, then an RN. I went back and got a couple master's degrees, worked in supervisory positions, and now currently teaching student nurses. I would like to take and be on the board to continue to monitor safe nursing practice to protect the public in Alaska, but also promote nursing as well.
Very good. Any other questions from committee members? Seeing none, thank you. And
thank you. I appreciate your time.
Your bet. Thank you. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
In accordance with AS 3905080, the Labor and Commerce Committee reviewed the following, recommends the appointments be forwarded to a joint session for their consideration. Board of Barbers and Hairdressers, Cheryl Brantley, Zara Blake Thomas, Board of Nursing, Catherine Hempel. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during any further session. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the document. Record. Next up is Senate Bill 68, Dental Hygienist. This is the second hearing of this bill. Public testimony was taken on Tuesday, March 10th. We heard testimony and support from all interested parties in this bill. And President Giesel, do you have any opening comments you'd like to make?
No, Mr. Chairman. I really don't. I think we covered everything at the first hearing. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Any questions from committee members? Seeing none, Senator Stevens.
Mr. Chairman, I move SSSB 68 version 31L SO224/R from committee with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
All right, seeing no objection, the bill moves. We'll take a brief at ease. Okay, we're back on the record. Next up is Senate Bill 173, License Intensive Care Paramedics. This is the first hearing. Today we'll hear a bill introduced from Senator Rivack and staff Dustin Ellsbury. We have noticed public testimony. Senator Rivack, go ahead and put yourself on the record and introduce the bill to the committee.
Thank you, Chairman Bishop and Vice Chair Stevens, fellow members of the Labor and Commerce Committee. For the record, Senator Josh Rivack, District M. Now, this bill fixes a pretty significant inefficiency, and I think you'll hear some pretty compelling testimony as to why this change is so important. Currently, the oversight of our amazing paramedics is split between the Medical Board and the Department of Health and Social Services, and this creates several problems. And I'll let my intern here, Dustin Ellsbury, present some of those problems to you.
Good afternoon, Chair Bishop and members of the committee. For the record, Dustin Ellsbury, intern to Senator Rivack. Thanks for the opportunity to present SB 173 to you today. SB 173 seeks to consolidate the oversight of emergency medical services under a single agency. Currently, the EMS system is divided between State Medical Board and the Department of Labor and Commerce and the Department of Health and Social Services. Now, to give an understanding of how this problem really happened, the split for licensing of paramedics, paramedics did not exist in Alaska prior to 1974, and after 74, the term mobile intensive care paramedics was created for the new scope of practice in Anchorage and Fairbanks in their fire departments. Furthermore, the emergency medical services within the Department of Health and Social Services didn't exist in Alaska Code until 1981. So the responsibility to license and credential the paramedics in the state of Alaska remained with the State Medical Board at that time. In 1984, the EMS section became fully functional. However, the paramedics, again, stayed with the State Medical Board. Paramedics are an essential part of the comprehensive emergency medical services we have in Alaska. With SB 173, paramedic licensure will be transferred to the Department of Health and Social Services in their State Emergency Medical Services Office. The State Emergency Medical Services Office has the responsibility for certifying emergency medical technicians, EMT instructors, EMT trainers, ground ambulance, medevac services, and even paramedic instructors and paramedic training. However, the responsibility of paramedic licensure has remained with the State Medical Board. So hopefully you can see why that split happened over time, simply a timing issue. And now we want to bring everything under one house for paramedic licensure. SB 173 does not change the scope of practice, license requirements, or fee structure for paramedic licensing. Medical direction will be provided by the existing Department of Health and Social Services Chief Medical Officer and EMS Medical Directors Committee. The State Emergency Medical Services is well positioned to support this change with a staff of 6 full-time positions, 5 of which are required to have paramedic experience, and there is an existing data system to incorporate the paramedic licensure, making the transfer a seamless transition. Aligning all EMS services under a single agency promotes public safety and will bring efficiencies to the licensure process. Again, thank you for the opportunity to present SB 173, and I would appreciate the committee's support. With me with a brief presentation and to help answer some of your questions is Jill Lewis, the Deputy Director of the Department of Health and Social Services Division of Public Health. And she has her presentation that is behind you now.
And if I could, Mr. Chairman, summarize, Josh Rivack, Senator District M. So what we're doing here is moving paramedics from the Medical Board under EMS, which is where, for licensure issues, which is where all the other pre-hospital folks already exist. And I'd like to also add that we've had a formal support from the Medical Board to do this.
Okay. Brief for these. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator Rivack. My question is, have you had conversation with actual EMS employees on this change?
Senator Gray Jackson, through the chair, we actually have some folks who have been really negatively affected in the EMS industry here to testify today as to why. But we have with several. They brought us this proposal, the EMS community.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Thank you. I would like for you, Dustin, to walk us through the sectional first before we get into the PowerPoint, please.
All right. So in the sectional of SB 173, for the record, Dustin Ellsbury, intern to Senator Rivak. So sectional analysis of SB 173, an act relating to mobile intensive care paramedics, relating to duties of the State Medical Board and the Department of Health and Social Services, and providing for an effective date. Section 1 amends 864-107. It removes the regulation of paramedic licensure from the Medical Board. Section 2 amends 864-170, allowing paramedics to practice medicine to render emergency life-saving services under another law instead of under medical board authority. Section 3 amends 864-360 by removing paramedics from that section. Section 4 amends 864-369. It changes paramedics licensed under the medical board to those licensed under DHSS for health care providers who must report certain injuries to the Department of Public Safety. Section 5 amends 1255-185, Section 11, to change paramedics licensed under the medical board to those licensed under DHSS. Section 6 amends 1808-075 by allowing paramedics to provide emergency medical care. Section 7 amends 1808-080 by requiring DHSS to adopt regulations establishing standards for paramedic licensure. Section 8 adds a new subsection, which is 1808-082A5. It adds regulations of paramedics licensure to DHSS. Section 9 amends 1808-82 Section B, insurance of certificates and designations to clarify that DHSS is the central certifying and licensing agency for all emergency medical services. Section 10 amends 1808-084A. It prohibits a person from practicing as a paramedic without a license. Section 11 amends 1808-089, authority to pronounce death to ensure consistent use of the term mobile intensive care paramedics throughout the law. Section 12 adds a new paragraph to Section 14 of 1808-200, the emergency medical services definitions, to add the definition of mobile intensive care paramedics. Section 13 amends 3705-146C, 77F, definitions of programs, receipts, and non-general fund program receipts to add fees for licensure of paramedics to the list of fees collected by DHSS. Section 14 repeals 0864-366, liability for services rendered by mobile intensive care paramedics. Repeals 0864-380, medicine definitions to remove Section 3, emergency life-saving services, and 4, mobile intensive care paramedics. Section 15 amends the uncodified law to provide transitional authorities. Part A of that section, a current paramedic license issued before January 1st, 2021 remains valid until it expires under the medical board, is suspended or revoked, or is converted to a license under DHSS. Section B, the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development and the Medical Board will transfer to DHSS on January 1st, 2021, files of all pending paramedic-related records and proceedings, applications, and disciplinary actions. Authorities for DHSS to adopt regulations which shall include the conversion of unexpired paramedic licenses issued under the Medical Board, that was Section C. Section 16 provides an immediate effective date for DHSS to adopt these regulations so they can be prepared on the January 1st, 2021. Section 17 provides an effective date of January 1st, 2021, and that is the sectional analysis.
Thank you. Okay, pretty comprehensive, moving from one area and move into another area of law. So, Senator Gray Jackson, did you have a question, ma'am?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was just okay. Looking at my dry hands.
My peripheral vision is still good. All right, let's go through the PowerPoint. Okay, invited testimony. Jill, how are you today?
Hi. For the record, I'm Jill Lewis. I'm Deputy Director for the Alaska Division of Public Health. Thank you very much for the opportunity to present to you today. SB 173 transfers oversight and licensure of the mobile intensive care paramedics, or just simply paramedics, from the State Medical Board to the Department of Social of Health and Social Services. That'd be effective January 1st of 2021. The Division of Public Health has a broad scope in its mission to protect and promote the public's health, everything from disease and injury prevention to vital records to the medical examiner's office to ensuring access to health care and preparedness for all hazards. The latter is the focus of the Division of Public Health's Rural and Community Health Systems section. This section encompasses the State Office of Emergency Medical Services. It also has Health Emergency Response Operations, Alaska Trauma System, and the Office of Healthcare Access. These components lead the way in preparing the state and its citizens for any public health emergency or disaster, either natural or man-made. The section's mission ensures high-quality healthcare from a patient's first point of entry and throughout their interaction with the healthcare system. The State Office of Emergency Medical Services engages in myriad activities to ensure that qualified and properly equipped emergency medical services personnel are available to respond to the emergency medical needs of Alaska citizens and visitors. The office is ideally positioned to take on paramedic licensure. You may be asking why this legislation is needed. It's not because the system is broken, but to make it better. And it's not because of deficiencies, but to make it more efficient. This has been years in the making through a deliberative process that involved hundreds of stakeholders throughout the EMS community. With the committee's permission, I will continue with the presentation.
Thank you very much.
Would Mr. Chair, would you prefer that we take questions as we go or at the end?
I like to do it at the end of each slide if a committee member has a question.
Thank you. So when you think of licensure for occupations, you might think about the Board of Hairdressers, the Board of Realtors, and similar. And normally, licensed occupations are regulated by a board of their peers. And you might be asking, like, well, why transfer licensure from the medical board then to a state department? And it's because paramedics are part of an EMS system. And that system needs to be fully integrated to function optimally. The Department of Health and Social Services has a mission not to just license and certify elements of the EMS system, but the mission is to ensure a comprehensive EMS system. It isn't just about licensure then. It's about ensuring that the entire system is robust and sustainable and resilient. And that's why licensure is more appropriately placed with DHSS. The State Medical Board, as you heard, fully supports the transfer of paramedic licensure. They indicated their support with a unanimous vote on February 7th. In addition to the Medical Board, the National Highway Transportation Administration review of the Alaska EMS system in 2014 recommended that oversight be transferred from the Medical Board to DHSS. With this quote, "This split in the state oversight of EMS personnel represents an inconsistency in the state's protection of the public served by EMS." And per the National Registry of EMS, only three states do not currently have all of their pre-hospital providers together under one state agency. Alaska's one of those three states. Questions so far? The EMS system's comprehensive and multifaceted. Each component, the EMTs, the paramedics, the ambulance services, and many others, they're vital to a well-functioning system. Currently, that system and its oversight is split between two agencies, DHSS and the State Medical Board, with the Department of Commerce and Community and Economic Development. It's important to create a seamless line of communication and representation so that the protocols and guidelines are well-informed and followed. Transferring licensure to DHSS will benefit the system because, first and foremost, it will reduce administrative burden for fire and EMS services and for the paramedics, who will only have to engage with one state agency for licensure, certification, and patient care data entry. It'll create some efficiencies around communication with all EMS provider types. Currently, DHSS uses a data system specifically designed for the oversight and engagement of certification and licensure for the entire pre-hospital system. Pre-hospital system generally refers to all the different elements and provider types, such as EMTs, paramedics, the ambulance, and ground services, and air ambulance as well. This system is what we use for the licensure and certification, and we use it to communicate with the providers efficiently. But because DHSS doesn't oversee paramedics, they're not logged into our system, and we don't have a complete list of paramedics then to send communications to, so that kind of duplicates efforts, and the communication is not as efficient as it could be. Additionally, the Governor's Alaska Council on Emergency Medical Services has subcommittees and creates planning and implementation guidelines and protocols that are used at the field level by EMS providers. Paramedics have representation on that council, and there are no paramedics currently on the medical board. Questions?
Nope.
Okay. There are two elements of medical direction that will continue if paramedics are transitioned to DHSS. The direct oversight of a paramedic by a sponsoring physician will not change as part of this transition. Sponsoring physicians and the medical direction would be provided for each and every paramedic and EMS system, just as it is for EMTs currently. Additionally, DHSS has medical direction at the department and section level, so statewide medical direction. The chief medical officer for the Department of Health and Social Services provides the overall medical direction for the department, but DHSS also has a state EMS medical director and an EMS medical director's committee. The Medical Directors Committee is comprised of individuals who specialize in emergency medicine or who are active medical directors of EMS systems. They provide oversight and recommendations for standard protocols, quality initiatives, and the scope of practice. They serve as a liaison with other council subcommittees as well to ensure alignment with the medical direction. Additionally, many paramedics sponsoring physician is actually the same individual who is providing medical direction for the EMS service that employs them. And the state EMS office already regulates EMS medical direction. This slide, which we're on now, slide 5, outlines the EMS current regulatory authority to oversee all the various elements of the pre-hospital system. So as you can see, the Department of Health and Social Services is the certifying body for every aspect except for the paramedics. They already certify the EMTs, the ground ambulances, the medevac services, the instructors, the training itself. In fact, the state EMS office has always been the approval body for initial and refresher paramedic training courses. The medical board does not actually approve the education. On the left of this slide, the first four elements, which include the chief medical officer, the council on EMS, the state EMS medical director, and the medical director's committee, those comprise the elements of the medical direction that oversees the pre-hospital system that I referred to earlier. Underneath of these four elements are shown the different types of providers, training, instruction, and services that the department already certifies and oversees. On the right, there is just one element of the system that we don't already regulate, the paramedics. Questions before?
Not that we don't regulate them, they're regulated under the state medical board.
The Department of Health and Social Services does not regulate the paramedics.
But the paramedics are regulated.
Yes, thank you to the chair.
Mr. Chairman.
Mm-hmm. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the paramedic instructors and the paramedic training are all under Health and Social Services. It just all seems like such common sense. Why did it take so long to get this done?
Through the chair, it has been a long time in the making. You may hear from some of the stakeholders who may testify during public testimony about the history and how long it has taken. We're glad to be here today, though.
Well, thank you. Any opposition to this?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, no opposition.
Thank you.
Please, Senator Rebeck.
Well, and I'll just interject quick. You said a while back that it's not because it's bad or broken, and I would venture to say that there's some paramedics who would disagree. I guess it would depend on who you ask. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Please continue.
Thank you. Moving on to slide 6. It's reasonable for the committee to be concerned that the EMS system doesn't experience any unintended consequences due to this transition. And let me assure you that the Department of Health and Social Services and Commerce have been working in coordination for some time and planning so that it is as smooth and seamless a transition as we can possibly effect. The Department of Health and Social Services knows that it's particularly important to ensure the continuity during the transition so there's no disruption to paramedics who have a current license or to the services that they provide. The existing licenses will be valid until the registration expires. It's a 2-year registration, and those licenses will transfer over to DHSS as valid licenses. Commerce will also transfer all their files, records, and proceedings to ensure that DHSS has the information necessary in order to continue with any discipline that might be going on or the histories of people's licenses.
Thank you. Please continue.
So there will be no change to the current scope of practice, the license requirements, or the fee structures for paramedics simply by transferring it from the medical board to DHSS. The 600 paramedics licensed in Alaska will continue to be able to provide the same services that they provide today. DHSS is not asking for additional funds for positions or to purchase an additional database. Overall, the addition of paramedic licensing will require about 1/10 of one full-time equivalent. The increased caseload we feel can be absorbed within our existing staff. Paramedics' biennial licenses actually represent only a small portion of the overall workload that we have currently in comparison to the approximately 3,500 EMTs, 500 instructors, and 100 EMS services that the office already certifies every 2 years. New licenses for paramedics, which new licenses require the most staff time to complete, those will represent less than 8% of all of our new certifications. The amount of work that would be involved with investigations would also be quite manageable. The number of investigation averages less than 8 a year over the last 10 years, and last year there was just one investigation. DHSS already has sufficient budgeted GF program receipt authority to absorb the additional $20,000 annually anticipated from the paramedic license fees, so it's really a net zero between Commerce and DHSS. And our existing data systems are already programmed to incorporate paramedic licensure, and so they will not require any additional programming or costs in order to accept paramedics into the system. As I mentioned in the previous slides, DHSS has the infrastructure to take on the additional licensure oversight and has been planning on this for a number of years. The state EMS office has 6 full-time staff with a combined experience of more than 100 years in emergency medical services. 5 of those 6 staff are required to have paramedic experience. The EMS database that we have is specifically set up to automate licensure and certificate processes. The office has a full-time database manager who ensures that it's running smoothly and that people can receive the technical assistance they need, even one-on-one individuals, to ensure that they're able to use the system. In closing, the pre-hospital system is critical for patients in the state. Paramedics and EMTs are an important part of that system. As I had said previously, just 3 states don't already have paramedics integrated with other elements of the emergency medical services. The EMS office is engaged every day with EMS services. The EMS office works now with paramedics for training and instruction, and bringing pre-hospital services together under one state agency is not only beneficial from the perspective of integration and communication, but for creating efficiencies and ensuring that the EMS unit focuses efforts on supporting those providers. So thank you very much for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Questions from Senator Stevens.
Just for my knowledge, who do these paramedics work for? I know in some cases they are municipalities, so they also work for hospitals. So who are the employers of the paramedics that we're talking about?
Thank you. Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I would say the vast majority are employed by fire EMS services, but there are also industrial paramedics that work for corporations, like maybe on the slope. So there's a variety of settings that they work in.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Seeing no further questions, next up we're going to have Mr. Webb. He's going to come up and talk to us as well, invited testimony.
To the chair and committee members, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. For the record, my name is Brian Webb. I represent the old guard of EMS in Alaska that are still practicing our craft and that retain the institutional knowledge of where we came from. I'm one of the old guys. Becoming an EMT, an emergency medical technician in Anchorage in 1978, I was certified by the National Registry of EMTs, as we did not have a section of EMS at that time. The same was true for paramedics, who eventually landed with the state medical board. There were less than 50 paramedics statewide then. We now number in excess of 600. I became a paramedic in 1980 while a U.S. Naval Corpsman, returning to the state in 1984, then getting my own story of state licensure issues. During my career, I spent time as an EMS training coordinator at the regional EMS office in Anchorage, where I dealt daily with paramedic licensing questions and impediments. Working to relocate paramedics, working to relocate paramedics from the board to the section has been a focus for me for over the past 25 years, striving to bring all of Alaska EMS pre-hospital care under one single roof with single regulations. Financially, regarding differential pay of paramedics, that's been brought up before, that are found at the larger departments. Whether a paramedic is licensed or certified, it really doesn't matter for their pay. There's no gain for a paramedic at any fire department by going from being licensed paramedic to being a certified paramedic under DHSS. There has also been discussions that because a paramedic delivers advanced procedures, such as endotracheal intubation and intravenous medications like those given during cardiac arrest, that the state medical board should then be the governing body over paramedics. And truthfully, that's just not so. The section of EMS manages EMT2 and EMT3 certified EMS providers who also deliver many of the very same procedures and many of those very same medications that I deliver. The section is well equipped to manage any advanced EMS provider. Professionally, there really are no cons to this move, and I'd like to highlight some of my pros for the move. The section performs already the yeoman's work for paramedic occupational licensing by doing a lot of the researching and investigation of source documents of the packets for medics seeking initial licensure, relicensure, and then providing a recommendation back to occupational licensing. In our view, they do nearly everything in this process except benefit from the fees collected for paramedic licensure. This move will also allow the section to adapt regulations to meet emerging skills, practices, and procedures that meet nationally recognized standards of care for all levels of EMS. Critically, this would also include the section's ability to provide real-time adjustments to scope of practice for all pre-hospital providers during declared emergency, as well as streamline the accession of out-of-state EMS responders responding to a declaration per standing mutual aid agreements in our compacts. The section is heavily engaged with the oversight of emergency medical technicians and already does provide some guidance for the paramedics via some of those established EMS oversight committees that Jill has mentioned earlier. The Alaska Council on EMS, or ACAMS, known as the Governor's Council of EMS, of the 12 members, 7 are paramedics. The ACAMS Training Subcommittee, of its 11 members, 11 of those are paramedics. The ACAMS State Medical Direction Subcommittee, of its 11 members, all are either emergency room physicians or currently EMS system physicians in charge of people like me, a paramedic. These are the physicians who manage the day-to-day oversight of their EMTs and paramedics, not the state nor the board. Also, the National Association of State EMS Officials. They work on the EMS National Scope of Practice and the EMS National Compact. The section's EMS manager is a standing member of that national committee. Conversely, the state medical board have no councils, committees, or working groups to examine the practices or the skills for the paramedics. The section provides a robust investigation process to answer any allegations against their certified EMTs. Paramedics are currently investigated by the board, but the section is always heavily involved. The section's current process also includes a provider self-reporting system that can capture unreported issues and is a pretty important tool for the paramedics to be able to have access to. Most importantly, the section is staffed by paramedics who actually know what paramedics do. The move to the House of EMS will streamline applications, training, recertification, the comity process from other states, and for once unify the state's emergency medical services under one family with one parent's rule. This move will increase our current oversight, our standard of care, as well as streamline the comity application for paramedics coming from other states, which is an issue for most paramedics coming from out of state. Lastly, stating a significant point under the board, paramedics have not had nor will ever have a member on the board. That's over 600 pre-hospital medical professionals who have no representation nor decision-making say on our practice. The section, however, has a long-standing system which allows for input from all its certified EMS professionals statewide across the board if they're going to change any regulations that affect an EMS provider. That will be significant for paramedics. As a whole, 100% of the paramedics in this state that I've polled so far approve of this move. So to the chair and the committee, those were my points I wanted to make, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that are within my scope.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Rivak.
Thank you, Mr. Webb, for being here to testify. I understand you had a personal story that was related
to
some issues. Maybe if you could tell us just very briefly about what your personal situation was in terms of problems.
Sure. Through the chair to Senator Rivak. When I came back home in 84 to go to college and get married, I was a paramedic as a Navy corpsman. I submitted all of my paperwork to the state medical board, and what I got back was a letter that indicated that since my original medical director of my paramedic school died, I couldn't be a licensed paramedic because I could not get the signature of my original medical director of my original training program. As odd as that seems, it took 6 months, and eventually to the commissioner, I pleaded my case, but by that time my license had expired. And so I was kind of dead man walking as a paramedic. And I'm the only paramedic in the state that's gone through, excuse me, paramedic school twice because of this licensing process. So see a little bit of emotion there that even after 30 years, this is still a pretty raw nerve for me. We moved to the section of EMS, and These problems go away, especially for the guys coming out of state that are trying to get licensed. Goes away. A much more streamlined process. People know exactly what they're looking at. People know exactly what it is that needs to be done, how it needs to be done, and the questions that need to be answered. And they won't have to try to get a signature from a guy that's dead. And so that's basically my story.
Thank you, Mr. Webb. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you for your testimony. Very well done. Next up, I'd like to have Ms. Chambers and Ms. Johnston come up, please. And if you two would put yourself on the record individually, of course, and then do you agree with this legislation? I'd like to have your opinion on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Sarah Chambers. I'm the Director of the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Alicia Jones, and I'm the Executive Administrator for the Alaska State Medical Board.
So, Mr. Chairman, to answer your question, we think this is a great bill. This is a great fit for paramedics for all the reasons that Ms. Lewis and Mr. Webb mentioned, and Health and Social Services is structured to provide that education and oversight. They are funded by the legislature to provide that type of programming that we are not funded to provide. And so they're very well equipped to really add a lot of value to paramedic licensure, and we fully support this legislation.
Thank you. Ma'am?
I would just reiterate what Director Chambers stated, that I see, as Ms. Lewis explained, this alignment makes more sense with the EMS services and having that all together. And as she stated, there is no representation on the medical board for paramedics, and the board did fully support unanimously at their February meeting for this transfer.
Thank you. All right. Any questions for committee members? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I could just make one comment, some of the processes that Mr. Webb went through in 1984 are no longer the case now. I really appreciate his testimony. It's just a reminder to us that licensing requirements need to make sense, be logical, and be attainable. So just through the committee, that was an important testimony, and we've come a long way since then, but it's a good reminder. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Okay, I believe we're at a point now. We're going to open public testimony. And let me see. I believe we got a tie here for who goes first. And Mr. Boyd, Alaska Fire Chiefs, Anchorage, Alaska, are you there?
Yes, sir.
And if you could put yourself and name and affiliation on the record and give us a couple of minutes of testimony, we'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, sir. My name is Alex Boyd, and thank you to the chair and the board members. I am representing the Alaska Fire Chiefs Association as well as the Anchorage Fire Department, and finally myself as a paramedic. The Alaska Fire Chiefs Association is supporting this bill for a number of reasons that have been spoken on already. And primarily these are the improvements of efficiency as well as ease of workforce development and movement towards a streamlined process within a single house. Currently, all of the membership, the reports to fire departments as emergency providers, for the most part, are working under the House of EMS, with the exception of our paramedics, which requires us to ensure that our membership are being certified in multiple agencies. As the Assistant Chief of Training for the Anchorage Fire Department, I oversee the licensure and certification of over 300 paramedics and more than 300 EMTs and more than 90 paramedics. All 90 of those paramedics in some way or another are multiple certifications under both the House of EMS and the Medical Board. These efficiencies will help not only the members of the Alaska Fire Chiefs Association, but us specifically in Anchorage, by allowing us to reduce a lot of redundancies in our processing as well as paperwork functions. Currently, not with an intent to impugn any of the members or the processes, the medical board has, but we are often delayed administratively in the licensure of our paramedics for many months, forcing us to occasionally require a callback of other paramedics to serve at a higher level, while those members who have met all the requirements as a paramedic and are simply waiting for the board to vote on their license. That can take, in one case, we've had a member who waited almost 9 months and was unable to practice as a paramedic despite completing school and meeting all of those needs. That was an extensive cost and large cost for the Anchorage Fire Department, as well as similar instances. And again, not because of any process other than just the arrangement of the medical board. The Office of EMS, we do have a lot of experience with, and we have a lot of faith that they will execute these processes very, very rapidly. In the last 24 months, the Anchorage Fire Department has recruited and hired more than 50 people, and in that process, we have had almost instant response and certification for applications of comity or reciprocity from other states for experienced providers that were very difficult to recruit, train, and develop, while we are still, from our last academy nearly a year ago, trying to process some of the paramedic licenses that came across with those members. So this bill allows us to improve those efficiencies, and we look forward to that process as well as operating under a single roof. Again, I thank you for your time, members. That's my conclusion.
All right. Thank you, sir, for your testimony. We're going to go to Fairbanks to Wilma Vinton. Hello, Wilma.
Hi, I'm here. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I am from Fairbanks, Alaska. My name is Wilma Vinton, and I am an MICP and have been since 2007. I have also been an EMT since 1979. Oh, I'm dating myself. I am an Assistant Chief of EMS for Steve's Volunteer Fire Department and represent myself. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on the behalf of Senate Bill 173. I am an EMS instructor and a past adjunct faculty for the UAF Paramedic Program and the Director of Interior Region EMS Council. As such, I work with EMTs and MICPs on a regular basis to assist them in acquiring and maintaining their certifications and licensures, and I do that also as the Assistant Chief of EMS. It is my humble opinion that this move from the Medical Board to the State Office of EMS in HESS is an excellent way to streamline the licensing process. It will be a seamless move, and it would align the MICPs with EMS as they are in many of the other states. The State Office of EMS is already providing certifications to EMTs, as you've already been briefed, in an efficient and effective manner. Adding the MICPs would not stress that smooth process. Currently, EMTs are regularly certified within a week of testing, but definitely within 20 days, and I do not see a problem with MICPs being licensed in the same timeline. The current licensing process under the medical board can take several months. The medical board only meets quarterly to approve licenses. The State Office of EMS has staff who daily's job is dedicated to certification and licensing. They have thought through the process, and they will be as thorough in the process as has been provided by the medical board, but in a much shorter amount of time. This will greatly benefit our students, our military leaving the service and wishing to practice in Alaska, and those from the lower 48 seeking employment in Alaska as paramedics. At present, the barrier is very high regarding the process to become a paramedic in Alaska, and this move will be the first major step in bringing that barrier down. I personally know of paramedics in Fairbanks that have given up the battle to take a paramedic job they were offered because of the prolonged process of acquiring their Alaska MICP paramedic licensing. Thank you for your time, and I strongly urge you to support this bill.
All right, thank you for your testimony. We have one more in, Jalea Johnston. Yes, she's in the room. Please come forward. I might not have said that right, but you'll get it right on the record. I apologize.
Oh, it's okay. So, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Angela Johnston. I'm from Juneau, and I'm representing the EMS Training Committee, which is a committee of ACAMIS, the Alaska Council of EMS. My written testimony on behalf of our committee's unanimous vote has been submitted. Our committee includes perspectives from all regions of the state, public safety, industrial EMS, rural health aides, and private flight medevac services. And all voices enthusiastically support this. As you've heard today, it's an accident of history that paramedics were assigned to the medical boards. And we've been limping along with this arrangement ever since, with one foot here and the other over there. And now, finally, we have an opportunity to correct this. So I urge you to support this bill and help EMS stand up on both feet and move forward. If not for paramedics, I urge you to support it for our patients. SB 173 will strengthen and add efficiency, oversight, and most importantly, resilience to our integrated system of pre-hospital care statewide. And now more than ever, as we face unprecedented health threats and we have to figure out innovative solutions to situations that are evolving daily, we need to be integrated and strong. Please help us. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your testimony. Seeing no questions. Is that it, Mr. Mello? Anybody else online for testimony? I'm getting a no. Okay, we're going to close public testimony. With that being said, I've got just one question for today before we set this bill aside. Is who can tell me how long do you think it would take after if we make the move? How long, what's the anticipated timeline to get a new license once we make the move? Who would like to take a stab at that?
Thank you. For the record, Jill Lewis, Deputy Director for the Alaska Division of Public Health. To the Chair, in general, we think we would be able to meet the same deadlines and the same timeframes that we do now with EMTs, which is, you know, 5 days to less than a month. Okay. For a license once we've received all of the paperwork.
Okay. Second question is then, and then would that be the same for a renewal?
Through the chair, renewals are quicker because a new license requires more scrutiny of all of the original documentation. So renewals would be more on the shorter end of that spectrum and not run up to 20 days unless there was a hitch in some piece of the paperwork.
Okay. Thank you. We're going to be watching that. So as we go forward, thank you, Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It seems to me it's a natural transition from a military EMS to a civilian EMS. Can you talk about that? Is that a that should be a pretty fast transition, shouldn't it?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I actually am not familiar enough with all of the details of that process. I would defer to Mr. Webb if he feels that that's within his scope to answer.
Mr. Webb?
I'll drag him right back here.
He even volunteered. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Once more, Brian Webb. The transition from medic to from military medic to civilian medic in all the other states that are doing this is actually relatively seamless. It for Alaska, it would be akin to an EMT or a paramedic coming from, say, California or Montana, to where we get the initial documents in, and we review those, we validate those, and then we put the stamp on it. For our we call it COMETI, and for our COMETI applications that I dealt with as a regional EMS training coordinator, generally speaking, we could run through those because of the internet and phone calls within several days, be able to validate that person. And then with the automated system that the section of EMS has currently with certifications and recertification, it's streamlined our process dramatically. Myself, I just recertified. I'm not only a paramedic, but also an EMT-3 for a lot of other reasons. And I was able to shoot my stuff through with all my instructor applications and my EMT-3 research stuff within a matter of days. With the automated system that they've made.
That's great. Thank you, Mr. Webb.
Thank you.
All right. Seeing no further questions, we're going to close public testimony again if I hadn't already closed it. And any final questions? Senator Rivak, wrap up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to thank all the folks who came and spoke, and thank you for your support, and thank you for hearing this bill, Mr. Chairman. I hope you guys come away with a little bit better understanding of why it's a good idea.
Okay, this concludes today's meeting. Next Tuesday's schedule, confirmations again. Senate Bill 173 is back up under and bills previously heard. Oh, wow, Thursday, more confirmations. And we're going to go take up Senate Bill 215, Alaska Education Saving Program Eligibility, and also other bills previously heard. So thanks to all my committee members for participating today. Thank you. And those in the audience, good afternoon. And we are adjourned at 2:35.